FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars, they came here to Earth. Caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
The subject here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf.
Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 156, recorded June 12th, 2015. I am your host, Weird Wolf, a.k.a. Deron Land. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Maroni Prime.
Hello, hello, hello. How we doing?
A bit of a small cast tonight.
Straight from the oil rig. He just got in from the oil rig.
Yeah. Proto Man may join us later. He said something in our private group that he might actually join in, but hopefully he'll come on here soon. But anyway, tonight's episode is hopefully going to be very helpful with you, those of you who are going to BotCon 2015 next weekend in Chicago, St. Charles, Illinois. And for those of you who aren't going to the show, maybe it might be an idea of what you might expect from the convention and when you go to the convention. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the news, and we're also going to look at the box set up close. Well, we're going to look at it up close when we're there, but we're also going to kind of preview it here on the show tonight. I don't know if we'll go very long tonight, but we just basically want to give some points and some last minute updates. Jim, if you want to kind of look at the BotCon front page and if they have any updates, we'll talk about those here later in the show. If you are listening to us on the downloadable version or watching us on the YouTube channel, feel free to tweet us at TFYLP on Twitter or go to our Facebook discussion group. And there's a thread going for this episode and comment on it. We're going to be monitoring it off and on throughout the show. And if you have anything that we want to mention, we'll bring it up here on the show. That again, that's on Twitter at TFYLP, and also on Facebook groups, the TFYLP Facebook group. We'll also want to kick off by mentioning our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com and Mega Toy Fan. Minimize your costs while maximizing your collection with Mega Toy Fan. You can find Mega Toy Fan at the BotCon and other great toy conventions year-round. So let's get into some things here. This isn't going to be a discussion topic right off the bat. It's something that has come up here recently, and I know that there's been a lot of crap on the internet about it. And I want to state right off the bat that I think it's a lot of well, now we got two gems on here. You got a doppelganger.
Yeah, apparently I'm a clone.
Yes.
Everybody loves a clone.
Yes.
Never had too many G1 humans.
Yes. But I kind of wanted to mention this because, well, damn, John, Don.
Sorry. My steel cord just about went flying off the table.
Oh.
I don't want steel cord to break because I don't want to have to get another one.
Oh, yeah. They are expensive now. But anyway, I kind of wanted to offer my two cents on this and talk a little bit about it from a personal standpoint, simply because I kind of am in the industry a little bit, so I do know a little bit about what I'm talking about here. And the BotCon convention has been under attack for the last probably week or so about bedbugs. And I think it's childish. I think it's pathetic that some people are it's not even funny. I really find no humor in it at all. That there are people that are saying that the hotel is bedbug ridden and all that baloney. While it is a concern that people should always check your room whenever you, you know, go into a hotel, I don't care where you are, always check it. That's common sense. But my profession outside in the real world, away from this podcast, I deal in hospital linens. I deliver them and I pick up the soiled. And it is a very, very common thing to see bed bugs. Not see them, but I mean, actually, we pick them up in a contained container, and the linens are then destroyed. They don't stay at the facility, and the hospital staff takes care of it. It's a very common thing, and newsflash, every hospital does it. And hospitals, just like hotels, a very common thing because, quite frankly, people can be nasty. Nasty people go to hotels. Nasty people go to hospitals. Mm-hmm. It's a common thing. It is, in my opinion, and it's just a fact that this is a non-issue. This whole thing that's blown up over the last week is a non-issue. And it is non-founded, and it is not fair to BotCon or FunPub. Now, while you know, I don't want to sit here and pontificate for a half hour on one subject. I want people to understand that you should do common sense. Always check your room, but that doesn't mean that this place that we're having the convention at is some horrible rundown place that is bed bug ridden. This whole bed bug thing is a lot of crap, and it's a non-issue. It's common. Any public place where people go to sleep, or anything like that, it happens. So I want people to be rest assured that this whole thing blew up as an attack on FunPub and BotCon. Me personally, I think it's not fair. And for those of you who, if you're watching or listening, if you were behind it or a part of it, shame on you. Bottom line, it's baloney. But I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I just wanted to offer some information from someone who actually sees it on at least a weekly basis. It's not uncommon at hospitals, and I'm sure it's not uncommon at hotels, motels, anywhere. But those places are professional, and they have ways to deal with it. And that's my soapbox. I'm going to get off of that. So you guys... have any comments on the upcoming show, anything that you're excited about. Let's bring this up to something positive and focus on the positive. BotCon 2015. I'm excited. The closer we get to it, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, like everyone else, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, here's a positive. It's BotCon. It's the official Transformers Collectors Convention that's called BotCon.
That's the very most basic form of...
Right. I realized what I was calling it mid-sentence. Anyway, once a year, everybody that loves this brand and has grown up with this brand gets together just to enjoy the hobby that they know and love so well. What's better than that? We get to look at the toys. We get to buy the toys, sell the toys, talk about the characters, talk about the stories, meet the voice actors, meet the comic book artists and writers. I mean, on and on and on. It's great.
Yeah.
You get cosplay, too.
Go ahead.
I'm looking forward, like everyone else, like everyone who's been in this business for a long, been in this collection for a long time, going into the first BotCons, information was scarce. That's about all we got each year was what was happening at that point in time and what to look for. But because it was not that until Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review or Toy Fair published early photos, we didn't know anything. We didn't know that. Now we have the Hasbro panel. And I think that is the highlight for so many people, just to see what we can expect. And what, with Combiner Wars...
What, the dealer room? The dealer room isn't...
Well, not for me, not as much anymore. In the early years, I camped down in the dealer room a lot because, again, I didn't know the European stuff, the Japanese stuff even existed other than the catalogs. But for me, the Hasbro panel, especially with Combiner Wars being as popular as it is, I want to see Bruticus. I want to see Computron. I want to see what's next for Combiner Wars.
Do you really think that we'll actually see Bruticus and Computron back on this year? Do you think they'll say that for SDCC?
I don't know so much about Computron, but I'm almost going to bank on Bruticus simply because we have so many molds already that lend themselves to the Combaticon style already.
I think, again, I'm going to get on my soapbox just for a minute. Nothing bad, but I don't really like the fact. I understand why they reveal a lot of the stuff at San Diego because of the press and the amount of people that's there and the hype that you can get from the announcement. I understand that. But there's also probably less serious Transformer fans at San Diego than there probably is at BotCon. And I don't like San Diego getting a lot of the big reveals when we are the trend. I mean, again, I know why they do it. It's just,
For those who are listening, they don't understand why. The whole reason why is because from Hasbro's standpoint, SDCC has even though it's a much broader and less focused fan base, that they're revealing the news to, the fact is sheer numbers.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, SDCC by far is larger than BotCon. BotCon, you might have, anywhere between 1,500 to 5,000 people. Where SDCC, you may have tens of thousands.
Right. So, I think we should get all the big reveals, but say maybe one. But again, that's me personally. But I think at the very least, we will see the Combaticons. And if there is a Computron in the works for late 2015, early 2016, that'll be your San Diego reveal. I got a feeling Computron would be the big reveal for San Diego. But
also SDCC has much more media coverage as well.
Exactly. I guess it's just we're the Transformers fans. We've been doing this for over 20 years now. We've put a lot of life, a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and money into it. I'm greedy. I want all the shinies. Mm. And I don't want to share it with anybody else.
Well, yes, you know, that begs the question. Do you think we as fans collectors of Transformers are jaded when it comes to BotCon? Do you think that we get to the point where we feel that, you know, we kind of expect know what to expect whenever we go into the Hasbro panel or something? It's like, oh, we've heard rumors that there's going to be Bruticus and Computron, and then we say, we're like, hey, our all of her. But then again, there's always the occasional RC that pops up, you know,
or Ultra Magnus at Toy Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm being one of those people that think we should get all the reveals. It's just, you know, I think we should get the lion's share versus San Diego, because we are the ones that will appreciate the information more, and we will rebroadcast that information 10 times more than anybody else. But again, I'm sorry, that's just me. But
that's a normal reaction as a fan, honestly. Yeah. I mean, it's we want everything to do with our franchise that we love so much. You know, we don't want the news to be given to somebody else because, hey, we're the fans over here. Don't go give it to them. Right. You know,
It sounds petty, I know. It's all business.
It's just business.
Yeah, that's my theory. Is, you know, and maybe at BotCon we'll see Christmas store exclusives, possibly G2 versions of Devastator. You know, I'm hoping since we dodged the bullet kind of and didn't get one for San Diego that we all thought was the obvious choice.
I'm kind of thinking now that Devastator and G2 Colors may possibly be a Amazon exclusive.
We're on a third Devastator right now already.
Yeah. Third one.
You got Combiner Wars mainline, the regular retail one. You've got the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive version that has the eyes and more toy accurate deco. Unnecessary use of chrome. And then now the Takara version. And I just saw today posted the Takara version is going to have Generation 1 handguns.
Nice.
Yeah. So you have to buy three Devastators now.
Now that begs the question, are we going to wait for this Takara version now because of the guns? We can get the Hasbro version.
Here's what I'm wondering.
I'd like to have the guns, but I'm not going to go.
Is the Takara version going to have eyes or visor?
And what else are they going to drop to compensate for the guns?
They'll probably have an e-hobby version that has the weird cape and stuff from Zone.
I'd have to buy that.
That was out of left field.
The big old drill hand and all that.
Oh, that would be the fourth version of the mullet. We haven't even got the G2 yet.
Right. And then they'll randomly throw the orange one at us.
Yeah.
Well, now the good thing is though, if we choose to get the American version, we'll be able to go to people like megatoyfan.com. Hey. And pick up some G1 pistols for our Constructicons.
Cheap plug.
Different scale though.
Well, the pistols were never that big anyway.
Right.
So, anyway.
Oh, I see. Because he might carry the Japanese versions in stock.
Well, no. I'm just saying, if you look at the animation in G1. You have the Constructicons, and all their pistols are like these little, tiny little pistols in their hands. So it's like, you know, the pistols are not really scaled to the robots. For, you know.
Well, then again, Generation 1 was never known for its accuracy and scale.
Yeah, that's
for
well,
sure.
But, I mean, the Carnage and C-Minor when you have...
No, don't. That's like Highlander 2. It does not exist. This is internet rumor.
There can be only one.
There is only one. Good movie.
But let's kind of bring it back to BotCon here, though. Okay.
BotCon.
Yeah, BotCon 2015 specifically. We're going to look at the box set here, what's been revealed, and we're going to to kind of give our knee-jerk reactions on it right now. And then the three of us, we're all going to be at BotCon this year.
Yep.
And we're going to try to get together. It might be a live broadcast. It might be a pre-recorded one. But we're going to try to get a show together at BotCon. I know the three of us are going to be there. Megamus, who's obviously going to be there because I'm a Mega Toy fan.
Yep.
Proto Man's going to be there. So we could possibly have a nice little cast at BotCon this year. And if we can line up a guest or two, that might be fantastic. But that remains to be seen. You know, you can plan and dream big, but you know, the panels, I used to be a big fan of the panels. I love the dealer room, but like Don said earlier, I was really excited for the Hasbro panel. Always. I mean, every time I went to BotCon, the Hasbro panel would be like the highlight of the weekend because they talk about and show things that they're either just talking about or working on or getting ready to release. And it's always just like, you know, you just want to grab the popcorn and sit there and watch. Mm-hmm. And then the voice actor panels.
We should bring popcorn.
Yeah. Jim, you said you haven't been to many BotCons, or is this your first?
I have not. My very first BotCon was kind of a last-minute happenstance. Me and a few buddies I grew up with, they're also collectors where I'm from in Terre Haute. We were at the Toys R Us just toy hunting on this random day off, looking to see what was out on the shelves. And we happened to be walking down this aisle and hear this guy talking to his wife, had his little boy with him, talking about Crypticon. And we all just kind of stopped dead in our tracks. It was like, this guy knows about Crypticon. So turns out he was a collector. He's people on the AllSpark may know him, Asquim. Shameless plug. So we ended up getting our heads together, and in his car, which was the most road reliable at the time, which was horrifying because his doors did not latch. They were secured shut through other means. Went to Lexington, Kentucky for BotCon 2006.
Which, in my opinion, is one of the best ones.
But... yeah, I spent the majority of my time there with my head in a dealer room box, digging through parts and pieces and things. Found most of a Bumble Jumper, but never did find the legs. And missed the Peter Cullen autographs by about 40 minutes because I lost track of time. And I've got this VHS of Transformers the movie that I was going to have him sign. I had it with me. And every Transformer-related convention I go to, I take it with me just in the event that there's going to be a G1 voice actor there. I took it with me to BotCon 06. I took it with me to 08, which I don't believe there was anybody there. I think I was more animated focused. I took it with me to all the SlagaCon shows, and I'm taking it with me this year. The first SlagaCon, I got Greg Berger's autograph. A couple years ago, I got Arlene Bannis and... The late Buster Jones.
May he rest in peace, yes.
Yeah, turns out that would actually be his last public appearance before his passing. So that was very, very fortunate that I was able to meet that man. And I'm hoping to have Frank Welker sign it this year at BotCon.
Frank Welker experience?
I am. And hopefully I don't somehow screw it up and miss it by 40 minutes like I did in 06 with Peter Cullen.
I certainly hope not if you're spending $200 on it.
Yeah. So that's kind of a reassurance to say that I will get it. Oh, yes, it will be mine. But that's not to say anything for Susan Blue and John Machida, who will also be there this year, who are not part of a exclusive $200 package, but part of the regular guest attendees.
Yeah.
So I'm going to basically double my signatures on this VHS cassette this year. And I
have a 11x17 version of the 86 movie poster. Ooh. And currently I have Paul Lighting, Greg Berger, Neil Ross, Stan Bush, and Morgan Lofting. I've got all them, even though Morgan Lofting wasn't actually in the movie, she was in the cartoon.
She's still Generation One.
Yeah. I've got all their autographs on it. I'm hoping to add Sue Blue and John Machida to it.
Yeah, because I've got Arlene Bannis on mine, and she wasn't in the animated movie either. She was Carly in season 2 or 3.
I've already got Peter Cullen's autograph on a 2002, or actually, it's a 2001 New Year's, I guess it's 2001, no, it's 2002 New Year's Prime sealed box. I had kept it in the plastic wrap since the day I got it, and the person that took it out of the plastic wrap was Peter Cullen to sign it. Uh-huh. So, you know, it stayed protected all those years and stuff.
And he had Peter Cullen's autograph.
Yeah. I would very much love to get his autograph on the poster as well, but I don't know if I'll have a chance to do that or not. Frank Welker's I would love to have, obviously, but I don't have $200 to drop on it, unfortunately. I really, really want to. Go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to say, I was lucky enough, thanks to a couple of people and a couple of random links, I was able to pick up a Japanese Legends class RC, the more accurate G1 version of our generation's RC, and I will be hopefully giving that to Miss Sue Blue at BotCon.
Giving it to her,
yes, because I've, you know, there are several characters that are very important to me. Mike McConaughey does Cosmos and Trax, and I've gave him a toy, the first Legends Cosmos and a Reveal the Show Trax. I gave him both of those in the past, and I told Sue Blue at the last BotCon she was at that I hope by the next time she sees the convention again, I'll be able to give her a G1 accurate RC, and now I finally can. So that's cool, and I'm hoping if she already has it, that's fine.
She can start a collection.
That's what I'm going to say. She can autograph it and put it up for the auction. A G1 RC signed by the voice actress, I hope will do really well at the auction for the charities.
Yeah.
So that's my big – absolutely. That's what I'm looking forward to as far as – other than the Hasbro panel.
And being that you brought up the premise package and the registration with Frank Welker and all that reminds me. With the registration – for BotCon, having ended already, they are opening up another day of registration for like the Primus package and all this, that, and the other. The day of, I'm double checking on the website here. It's like you can only do that in person there at St. Charles.
Oh, that's a good thing because
I believe that's for Saturday.
Now, if you are traveling to BotCon and listening to the downloadable version of this, and you haven't got the Frank Welker experience, you're not out of luck, apparently. That's...
Hello?
About it, or is that all?
Okay. No, we lost it for a second.
Oh, no, I'm still here. What else does it say, or is that all that it says?
Well, I'm thinking I may be looking at the wrong spot.
That's what she said.
Right. The most recent update I'm seeing here deals with the day that the registration ended, and that was the 5th. Let me pop over to TFW 2005 right quick, because I want to say they had a little blurb on it on there. Might have went out in the email. I remember I saw it just earlier this afternoon.
Professionalism.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, that's gonna be a real treat for those that didn't make that deadline due to whatever circumstance,
And he goes bye-bye. Goodbye, Jim. You all the weakest link.
Damn that laser beak.
Snatched him out of the sky. Yeah. Don, did you get the Frank Welker experience? Or?
No, I didn't. I wanted to. I really wanted to. But autographs really don't mean that much to me. And although that would be great to be in the panel with him and the dinner and everything.
Will he be at the dinner?
I'm sure he will. I think so. But again, since I wasn't doing the package, I didn't really look into the details. Are you live or are you Memorex?
I'm not sure anymore, man. I'm like a copy of a copy. But as
high speed internet fail.
I know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's my router or my Chromebook that I'm using.
I think your computer doesn't like your hat.
That could be. It could be throwing off the reception. I should switch to tinfoil. Anyway, as far as that deal with BotCon, I'm going to have to keep searching for that. I saw it this afternoon, but I'll get back with you and update you later on in the show.
Okay.
Just to follow up on that.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't do the Frank Welker experience simply because I couldn't afford it, but I think it's a deal, honestly, from what I understand. You know, you're going to be able to get a professional photo done with Mr. Welker and get his autograph. I don't know if there will be so much as a meet and greet with him, but, you know, I mean, it would just be awesome just to meet the man.
You know, and I thought about it this way, Darren. Since I'm not really as fired up as a lot of people are for this. And again, we were trying to get Welker from BotCon day one. I know John and Carl looked at it. Glenn looked at it. It's just the man was so phenomenally busy. He could not, for 20 years, he could not do it until now. So if me not going opens up a spot for somebody that this is their one trip and they're finally getting to meet Welker, that's fine with me. I don't mind looking at it that way.
Yeah. Well, like Magma said on a previous episode that we had, is this some? I don't know. It's Jim joining us again.
It just never stops.
If you drop off again, Jim, try rebooting your router. Unplugging it. Try unplugging it and plugging it back in.
Because so far I'm troop building.
No, you are not a human. You are an insecticon.
Something.
But anyway,
variation of the 501st Legion.
I lost my train of thought. It's been very distracting. Shame on you.
Your astro train of thought derailed.
Yes.
Box set. Look at the box set.
Yes.
No, it was.
Frank Welker.
Yeah, well, as far as autographs go, I like the autographs. I like to have the autographs. Michael McConaughey was actually the very first G1 voice actor I ever met. Met him 11 years ago at OTC04.
He's such a great guy.
Yes, he is. I made the poor man cry with my story as a kid, you know. But, he's awesome. I still have his autograph on a reissue tracks. And, you know, just a phenomenal guy. I'll probably try to get his autograph. He wasn't in the movie, though, was he?
Tracks and Cosmo. I think Trax was in that deleted scene.
Oh, with Hound and all them.
Yeah, where they were fighting the constructed cons through like a parking deck, and I think Red Alert dies. I think he was in there.
Oh yeah,
but I think that scene only went to the animatics stage, and it didn't get much past that.
That'd probably be on the Kid Rhino DVD. From 2002.
But, I guess I probably won't get his autograph on the poster then, since I already have it. But anyway, I think the autographs are awesome, and if you've never gotten to meet any of the voice actors, it's usually a surreal experience if you're any sort of fan of any of the cartoons that they've been in. You might even meet a new friend. You know, it's like whenever I met Paul Eiding, seemed to kind of hit it off with him, and I really like him. Now the box set. as Don tried to segue into so poorly.
excuse me for trying to add some professionalism to the events.
Excuse me.
I'll just sit here with my hand down my pants. Like Al Bundy.
That's creepy, Don. Thanks for that mental image.
Sorry. I was shooting for like the Al Bundy. Wow.
You know, I love toys a lot, Don, but I don't. When I think about my toys, I don't touch myself. So
that's not what I was shooting for, and you all know it.
Oh, now you're shooting at them now. Okay.
More, much more than meets the eye.
All right. Let me. Yeah, if you want to start out, Don, kind of talking about it, I'll try to bring up the group shot and everything and share it.
Sure. The first picture, which is the second Lee Durin, is a picture.
Let's go in order here, Don. Okay. I've already pulled up the first
one. Oh, well, okay. That's why. Okay. The first picture you're seeing is of the BotCon 2015 box set, which is going to be technically it's five figures. It's sort of like counting combiners. Do you count them as five or do you count them as six? Let the count do the counting. All right.
Actually, would this guy right here kind of count?
No. All three. Okay. Here we go. The first character
I have successfully trolled.
Brian will be proud. The first figure is going to be Flywheels, which is a repaint and remold of the Springer mold, which was the Duocon from Generation 1. The figure below him is the Silas Breakdown version of Breakdown that we never received in the United States due to a Japanese Voyager is much bigger than a U.S. Voyager, and the price point would not have worked. With the retool head, that's going to be your Megatron for the set. On the far right, the blue rat trap is Pack Rat, which is an homage to the 1997 BotCon set that featured Pack Rat and Fractal.
I thought you was getting ready to say Fap Rat.
I was about to say Fat Rat.
Wow.
Fat Rat. But that's again using the generation. Rat trap mold, which looks really close in blue on screen to the blue they used for the 1997 toy. Below that is an odd figure, sort of out of nowhere, Shattered Glass Ricochet.
Stepper.
I'm sorry? Stepper, I'm sorry. Shattered Glass Stepper.
The same guy.
Stepper is the Japanese version, and then Ricochet is what they called him in the U.S. Basically, it's Target Master Jazz. In Japan.
You know, I love Orange. I love that mold. I love that character. But it's out of the whole set, that's probably, for me personally, the least appealing of it.
Here's my question. Does that mold have to be orange twice?
Actually,
we got Wheelie. So
Wheelie was a little lighter orange, though.
Yeah.
Still orange.
And then you did have a fair amount of orange on kickoff. The kickoff, it was a lot of black, but there was some orange on that one as well.
One's a tangerine, one's a nectarine. They're both orange.
Yeah. Mm. So there's that. And I was told this. I thought there was nowhere to store the Target Master, and they're using the Cyclonus Target Master from Generations.
Mm. That's the same thing that the United Stepper used.
Right. But apparently you can attach him to the speakers that are mounted inside the doors. I did not know that.
I did not know that either, and I had that figure at one time.
That's what I was told. Now, the three figures below the two pair of guns in the center, those are Micron Legend figures that come with the Megatron. And Micron fans, please forgive me. I'm sick of Minicons, Microns. I didn't catch what their names are. I apologize. But, yeah, those come with Megatron, and one of them is his energy ball and chain. Now, the figure I think everybody was caught off guard by, the one that nobody was expecting Funpub to be able to pull off, especially after last year's Scorponok, as far as we did Scorponok last year. What can we do to top that? My answer would have been probably not a lot. But we get a brand new pretender. Basically, all three characters are Old Master. His conscience is split into three across three different robots and a shell. Well, two different robots and a shell.
Like
But all three are technically considered Old Master. Mm-hmm. It's a brand new shell. It's a repainted gears with the matching target mask, jet target master.
Actually, it's a repainted swerve because that's the swerve.
Oh, it is? Okay. I couldn't tell. So I think that is the figure everyone was caught most off guard because that is a basically – well, we thought them retooling Scorponok last year to hold a G1 headmaster plus having a G1 – using the spike from the Encore Fortress Maximus was like you shouldn't be able to do this, but you did. Now they've created an entire new Pretender shell. I don't like Pretenders. Other than Metal Hulk, I've really never cared for Pretenders before. I like that.
Me personally, I really, really want Oil Master simply for his uniqueness. I'm not a huge fan of Pretenders either, but I do like the Swerve mold, Swerve slash Gears, and the fact that they went so overboard in a good way and made that shell, made a Pretender shell for this. I'm like, I'm digging it. And it's an unreleased character too. And it just hits on so many levels. That particular figure out of this whole set is the biggest home run to me. And it makes this set valuable in my opinion.
Now I will say one thing. Now I like the Springer mold as good as anybody else. I have him and I have Sandstorm. Okay. The Flywheels mold personally is not one of my favorites. But for this character, with his backstory, in those colors...
What, Battle Trap, you mean?
I thought Flywheels... I'm sorry.
Flywheels is a tank and...
I always get them backwards.
Yeah, Flywheels didn't have wheels. Battle Trap had wheels.
Yeah. But Battle Trap, that is the perfect fusion of mold and color and character fiction.
I have to admit, it is a gorgeous figure, and is easily my second favorite out of this lot. Yeah.
It's just, to me, that's what makes that is what I look for, is if the character they pick for that mold with fiction works that well together.
Success.
Yes.
Yeah. Found it.
Oh.
Ah. It was on the Facebook page for BotCon Official. It was posted 10 hours ago regarding late registration. It says, 2015 BotCon registration is now closed. Late registration is available on-site at the Pheasant Run. I keep wanting to say Pleasant Run. It's Pheasant Run, like the bird, resort. Please come by the registration booth Friday, June 19th at 9:30 a.m. So that's Friday morning, guys, not Saturday. Any available packages, Frank Welker VIP passes, and exhibitor space will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis. We cannot add anything to your registration between now and Friday, June 19th, 9:30 a.m. For additional items, come to late registration. All remaining souvenirs, which is the assembled class figure, T-shirts, loose sets, hats, will go on sale to registered attendees on Thursday night during package pickup. Non-attending orders may be processed at the club store. Boxed and loose sets are available. Please remember that the loose sets can only be purchased in conjunction with a box set on a 1-to-1 ratio basis. All orders will be reviewed by admin before shipment for compliance. Visit the club store at transformersclub.com/shop. Boom. Told you I saw it.
Hooked on Phonics works for you.
And I just had a horrible mental image of us all being there. And a giant dome appears over the resort, and we would be Pheasant Run under glass. Sorry. I think
a tumbleweed just rolled by. You know, but
no, that was my toupee. It's all good.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wait, you wear a toupee?
Not officially. No, I seriously don't.
Hey, bald is beautiful.
It is. I've done it before.
Yeah. That's what she said. But anyway,
no comment. My hair is all there. It's just doing a strategic retreat to the rear. But it's all still there. Just
I was wondering why the toilet seat was getting warmer.
What?
I don't get that one either.
The hair retreating. Never mind.
Okay.
You don't lose the hair. It just slides back over the years.
This podcast officially just got weird.
You know, the guys at Superhero.
It got weird when we talked about a toupee rolling by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think XVS Superhero Time would be fun. We'll be pleased that we just segue right off the damn cliff.
Yeah.
Just, yep.
That's what we do. Because yes. It's what we do.
Okay, that's the figures in the box.
Okay, now, let's take a look at the box.
Here's the box.
The box.
In the box. Behind door number one, we have
the box. The box.
And there it is.
Woohoo!
Now,
Cybertron's most wanted.
And basically, it's the desk of some unknown law enforcement officer. The way the layout would seem, you know, that there's your files, your cup of Energon, you know,
you got an Energon pencil and a coffee mug full of Energon. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of sweet.
Yeah, and he's probably 2 days from retirement on his houseboat too.
Well, if he's 2 days from retirement, chances are that's not Energon and it's Pepto instead.
Hmm. But whatever, whoever he is, he won't make it to his houseboat. That's just sort of the way things work. But I like the box art. It's I'll be honest, the cup of Energon kind of it makes my eye go right to it.
It looks like Pepto.
Yeah,
it looks like a cup, a mug of Pepto Bismol.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I think it's
a nice touch. I think it's a nice touch. But
it is.
I get it.
I think maybe if the cup had been maybe like only half on the box and the stain would have been like he had just moved it or something, so the cup wasn't quite as obvious. I mean, but you know, it's cup. It's old. What are you gonna do? Never mind. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's hard to own.
Yeah.
But anyway. But again,
there's some things to do with one cup. But,
you know, me personally, my favorite box set. Box art was the 2010 one, the G2 Redux.
Oh, God. That was a gorgeous set. Now, I'll be honest. I'll be honest. The only thing that set needed to be a perfect dial to 11, you know, badass seal of approval, to borrow from Angry Joe there,
mm-hmm.
is if the edge of the box had been the Cybernet Space Cube. We were looking at a frame of the Cybernet Space Cube, and it was the
box.
But other than that, the 2007 Games of Deception set, I think, is a really pretty box. It shows all the characters in dynamic poses, all the jets coming down, Bug Bite there in the back with his jetpack on. But yeah, if someone prompted me to pick a best set, I'd say probably the G2 set, but that 2007 set is so close behind.
Yeah. Yeah. This set here though, I kind of dig it though. As far as it's one of the better ones in my opinion.
Well, darn it. Let me ask you a question, and this has popped up on other things, other places I've talked to people. Are the toys more important than the fiction behind the toys being who they are and what they are? Or do you feel that the fiction helps make the set a more cohesive creation if you take it all together?
It's a really subjective thing because to me, I'm a toy collector first and foremost. The toys supersede the fiction to me. But without the fiction, the toys tend to mean a little less, but I tend to go for toys that have strong roots in like the Generation One cartoon, because that's what I grew up with. That's what I'm most familiar with, which is why I like the Combiner Wars toys. Whenever I look at those characters, I don't see them as characters from the Combiner Wars comics, because quite frankly, I haven't been reading them. You know, that fiction does not draw me to them. But whenever I look at those toys, I'm seeing the cartoon versions because I know that the design aesthetic draws heavily off the comics, but they also rely heavily on or draw a lot of cues from the original incarnation on the cartoon. For example, the exclusive Wild Rider, or I'm sorry, Breakneck. You look at that head mold, it's like dead on Wild Rider, you know, from the cartoon. I mean, just the straight right red face with the yellow eyes and the horn sticking out the side. I mean, that's the way he looked in the cartoon. And whenever I see those cues, I mean, it reminds me of that fiction. But even if there was no fiction, I'm all about the toys. You know, I want the toys because they're cool. They look neat.
Sure.
But it's entirely subjective. You know, what appeals to me for the toys or in this franchise may not be what appeals to, say, Jim. You know, Jim may be everything cartoon and toys yep. come second, you know, you know, Don, you might be everything comic, toys come second, or you might be comic, then cartoon, then toys. You know, it all depends. But I've sat here and I've went this long.
Yeah.
And what was your original question again? I mean,
for both of y'all, is the fiction that's created to tie these toys together an important part of you enjoying the set, basically? Or is it something that you can leave out and enjoy the toys on their own?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't read any of the fiction of any set. Even the sets that I've owned in the past, I didn't even read the fiction. I was appealed to the toy strictly from the toy's perspective. I viewed the toys as they were. I have not read a single page of any of the club fiction. That's not to say that I'm boycotting it or anything. No, none of that. It's not important to me.
It just wasn't in your bell house, but basically.
No.
What about you, Jim?
Well, that's honestly something I've wondered about for many years about the brand in general. I especially noticed this around the time the live-action films came out, was we were starting to get, you know, name reuses just for the sake of keeping the name, or completely, you know, new names, nobody characters out of the blue. And it got to the point where we were getting this character and that character, and we didn't know who they were. A couple of the lines over the years didn't even have tech specs or profiles, so we still don't know who they are. And it got to the point where, okay, are we just introducing these characters just to have a transforming toy to entertain a little boy, or are we going to help the little boy's imagination and say, you know, hey, this is this character, and this is what he's about? You know, why should we care about this character? You know, is this a character that has maybe something in common with us, or has been on an adventure? You know, the story has to go hand in hand with the toys. But at the same time, you can also have, stories and not have good toy representation either. So I think they're both vital to one another.
Yeah, I agree, Jim. My favorite character, obviously, is Weird Wolf. And Weird Wolf had very little to no characterization in the original cartoon here in the United States. And he had some in the original comic, if I remember correctly, especially in the Headmaster series. Most of his characterization came from the tech spec bio that was on the back of his box.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, personally, that is sufficient. I really, really, really wish that Transformers would go back to the bio cards that are on the packaging, even if it's just a little small square on the side of the blister card. or you know, like they're like the Combiner Wars, they're having those little pack-in. To me, it's a lost opportunity. You know, you got that cool little trading card. Why not flip it over and put the damn bio on the back? Or it's the lost opportunity to me.
Well, for me, I can look at the set as just the toys in and of themselves, but the fiction to me really would help tie who these characters are and what they're doing together. It in this one little timeline, this one little point, this one little moment of time, these are the characters that we're following, and they need strong fiction. So even if we can't put them in a timeline with everybody else, at this snapshot, we know who they are and what they're doing.
As far as the BotCon sets go, I totally agree that it needs to be there. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to read it.
Right.
Right.
One of the greatest failings, in my opinion, in the past 5 or 10 years was Power Core Combiners, because there was nothing beyond the box information for that. And I think if there had been some kind of fiction, either online, a web series, something to tie these characters together, just so you know where they stood in the Transformers universe. But you have all these characters interacting in this one little pocket dimension over here. You have Power Core Combiners with no connection to anything, no fiction of them. You know, so that's what I hope we don't see again, is we see good toys, especially by Wave 3 and Wave 4 of the Commander series, and no fiction to support it, and it just sort of just died because no one knew what to make of it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just something that's come up lately in various places I go, where how important is the fiction versus just getting good toys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it was a BotCon set full of Armada Sideswipes, I don't think no amount of fiction could help that.
An army of Runabout and Runamucks.
Oh, you just gave them a troop builder idea for 1 year.
There you go.
Speaking of troop builders, let's speak a little bit about some of the things that are leaked and rumored to be part of BotCon. Now, the Waspinator, we spoke a little bit about it, I think, last week, or was it?
I think it was
it last week or the week that?
I think it was last week.
One of our previous episodes in the past month.
Yes.
There you go.
You know, we've seen that. Is there anything else that's rumored to be BotCon related that's leaked out?
The Waspinators, the General Optimus Prime, and the Black Die Clone Skids is all that's been leaked. But FunPub recently mentioned the cost scales of all the figures, and there are 4 troop builders in one bag. So if the 4 Waspinators are in that one set, that blows my theory that one of those was the add-on figure for the attendee figure.
Yeah.
So if those 4 are in a set, then...
Do we have that information, the cost breakdown for the souvenir sets?
Yeah, let me get that.
Because I think one of the sets was $165.
That's the 4 Waspinators.
Okay. And then there was another set that was like $85.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now.
I'm speculating right now, and I know that we've been told that it's highly unlikely, but I'm thinking it's kind of being played down. This is my opinion. I'm thinking that the big set, the big 2-pack set, will most likely contain a flywheels, because it just, to me personally, it doesn't make sense to release Battle Trap and no flywheels.
Okay, from the BotCon official page, souvenir set one is a 2-pack for $89. Mm-hmm. Souvenir set number 2, which is a 2-pack, $79. Souvenir set 3, a 4-pack, $169, and then a Creo set is $29.
I want to say something about that if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Briefly, the Creon set. Given that, you know, I pretty much am the godfather of the Creo Wiki.
Shameless plug.
Yes, I know. Creo.wikia.net. Recently, we've seen revealed the San Diego Comic-Con Class of 1985 Creon 30 pack that has a lot of the Heritage Generation 1 characters from the Season 2 era 1985, such as Omega Supreme, Alpha Trion, and others. And one that stuck out for me in this set was veteran Jumpstarter Autobot Topspin. And I got to thinking, okay, we've got a Creo Souvenir 6-pack coming to BotCon, and we don't know what the Creons in that set are. We don't know its theme. We don't know anything about it other than it's a Creon set, and it has 6 Creons in it, and it's $29. So I'm thinking that one of those Creons in that set has to be Twin Twist. Though he may suck on TFW, it's got to be Twin Twist. That's me calling it right now in advance. If I'm right, awesome. If not, I don't really care. I'm probably right. And if so, following their pattern of doing Creon sets that are related to the main Transformer exclusive box set for that year, could it be we may end up with a Topspin and Twin Twist in some sort of souvenir set 2-pack?
If so, who would they be?
Topspin and Twin Twist.
No, I mean, what molds?
Molds? I mean, it's hard to tell. Another thing, too, is Roadbuster and Whirl have recently had Generations figures. Those characters were noticeably absent from the box of 1985, or the Class of 1985 box set as well. Even though a new Jetfire, named Jetfire, not Jetwash, is also in the set, Roadbuster and Whirl are not. So could they be some of the Creo Souvenir 6-pack members as well?
It seems to, I don't know. With me not being a big Creo person, it's just not something that, you know, I'm into, really, to be honest. Apologies on that. It seems to me that the six pack of Creons would be characters from the comic that show up as either background characters or secondary characters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it seems like it would be to me, is a Creo set related to the main box set, and not something else out there in the wild.
Possibly Combiner Hunters? Maybe Fembots?
Seems like that's more of an SDCC thing. So
yeah, it's been confirmed that there's a 3-pack that's a SDCC set.
Right, but not of Creons.
No.
But why would they do Combiner Hunter Creons before they appear in the regular SDCC set?
Because they can.
Well, don't toss logic into this. I don't know. It could be anything. It's I'm hoping whoever they are, it's people that enjoy the Creons. It's something that they can get. I know Creos like Minicons. Some get to be really hard to find.
Okay, yeah. here's a thought, and this is pure speculation. Whenever I kicked off this part of the segment,
sure.
I basically asked what is our conjecture on what else outside of the box set that we're going to get. We really don't know yet, so this is just our opinion. We'll find out in a week. If the General Optimus Prime indeed is part of the one of the bag sets, and they're using the Roadbuster mold, could it be possible that they may use Whirl as maybe Rotor Storm or Machine War Sandstorm?
Could we get a Creo General Prime and Creo Sandstorm?
Well, I'm thinking more of a Rotor Storm, though.
Oh, Rotor Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, now, are you talking the Creo set, or are you talking the other exclusive?
The Generations, using the Generations mold for Whirl.
Okay.
Make a Rotor Storm or maybe a better Sandstorm. Yeah. Sandstorm would go with last year's set, wouldn't it? Or year before last.
Yeah. Actually, what I think, basically, if you look at the pairings, we're still one unknown figure shy of the sets being complete. So we have, you know, two figures, a four pack, and the Creos. So there's still at least one figure unknown at this point. Mm-hmm. And everyone's guessing the other Duocon, but a lot of people that I talked to, and this makes sense, they're doing General Optimus. Why not Sergeant Hound from Scoop? Because that would be the other. That would be the other Generation 2 unreleased figure.
That would
from the Auto Rollers.
Yep.
Hmm.
Now, that's not my idea. That's just something that someone told me, and it was like, that makes a lot of sense to pair those two together. But that still leaves, if those two are in a set, and if we are getting Black Diaclone Skids, who is that going with? But now, Diaclone Skids, there are a ton, and if Proto Man was here, he could probably tell you all about the Diaclone stuff. But I know there's an entire bag of Skittles worth color-wise of Skid Diaclones. So if we're getting a Black Diaclone Skids, the freebie...
Way to go.
Ultra Prime is dead.
So
the freebie, the freebie, Don.
So the other freebie could be a different colored Skids, which would be the, because I doubt they would put two of the same Skids mold as
well.
A
they could just change up the head, you know,
and it's crosscut.
Have the crosscut.
So what we're looking at is we're going to have General Optimus and a black Skids. General Optimus and a possible Sergeant Hound from Scoop, Skids by him, Skids, and then someone else in that other two pack. But it's
Mudflap. Sorry, I want a Mudflap.
Mudflap from the movies?
Why not?
That is your helmet on too tight? Are you kidding? You have oxygen.
Hey, well, they do have a Megatron. They do have the movie Megatron in the actual box set. So
they do. I was pretty fond of the twins.
Yeah.
I mean, despite their suggestive nature or whatever, I thought they were funny.
The new unknown figure will be the last use of the classic Seeker mold. We'll get one more use out of it. It'll be with the Diaclone Skids.
Nacelle.
No, it'll be some dye clone colored beads from
No, it'll be that crappy Revenge of the Fallen ice cream truck that split in two. It'll be repainted as something else.
Okay, if that happens, me and Jim, we had nothing to do with that idea. It's all Doran's fault. Tar and feather him. We're innocent bystanders.
Right.
I just jinxed it, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Now that you said it, it's already in production.
All right. Switching gears here a little bit.
Switching gears.
Here, yeah. Here is a picture from the BotCon website of the shirt and the hat that are going to be at the show this year. I think the shirt looks pretty awesome. For those of you who are listening on the audio version, it's black. On the front, you have I guess kind of a old-timey wanted poster for Oil Master, and it says BotCon 2015. And then on the back you have a bona fide wanted poster. It says wanted, deactivated, or functioning, and it has the other four guys that's in the set.
I stopped buying shirts.
Kind of nice.
They don't really fit me anymore, and they get kind of snug.
The t-shirts seem to be the most lasting thing that I buy from cons because
the shirts are great quality. They just don't fit me.
I'll keep the shirts. I mean, I'm wearing the 2012 shirt, and I've still got You remember the what year was it? The I think it was the last OTFCC. The black shirt with the white line art on it had Optimus Prime and Jazz. I can't remember Jazz and a few other Autobots on it. I still have that shirt, and I don't have any of the toys from hardly any of the other years. I've got the shirts, I've got the badges, but I don't have the toys, and that's sad. I don't keep the toys, but your guys' thoughts on the shirts?
Like I said, shirt's fine. It's just with me being a little chunky, they just really don't fit. And if they shrink any at all, I look like I'm the Incredible Hulk getting ready to just, you know, rip out of it. And nobody wants to see my chest. So
just as long as you're not wearing purple stretchy pants.
All right, let's move on to the guests here. Oh, go ahead.
Quick revelation about Oil Master. Okay, the swerve mold, it transforms into what?
A truck.
Oil Master is both truck and monkey.
He's
the missing link.
I made that joke the day he came out on Twitter. You are way late, my friend.
Just occurred to me.
You are way late, my
friend.
Wow. He's truck and
monkey. Fantastic.
All right, let's move on to the guests for BotCon. Artist Sally, they've got on the website. We're looking at the website here. Casey Caller, Matt Frank, Alex Milne, Josh Burcham, Robbie Musso, Dan Kana.
I love Dan. I love Dan's stuff. I got so much of his stuff already.
It's Kana? I always pronounced it Kana.
Kana.
I just say Dan.
Yeah. Dan Kana. Let's see here. We've got John Paul Bove, Josh Perez, Thomas Deere, Livio Ramondelli, Silas Z, Mai Namba.
They've got some major weight coming in on Artist Alley this year.
Yes, they do. Yep. Brendan Cahill, Hayato Sakamoto, and Koteri. I am not familiar with.
I thought that was Cotter with an exclamation point.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, "Welcome back, Cotter."
Koteri. Let's see here. Specializes in fun, expressive, and occasionally cute versions of modern Transformers. Characters, mixes humor, art, and Transformers,
and don't forget a lot of other fan favorites as well. I'm not sure if Walkie's going to be there this year, but Walkie could be there. Mm-hmm. But David Willis from Short Pact, and also he did the Recordicons on the back of the club page as well.
All right, guests, we have Frank Welker, Susan Blue, John Machida, Kojin Ono, and Derek J. Wyatt are going to be there.
Now I'm having a completely total memory lapse brain fart on Kojin Ono. He was
okay. Kojin Ono is a designer for the Takara Tomy, and was key creative force behind the introduction of car robots in Japan.
Okay.
So Don, there's somebody you might want to talk to.
They're talking about the original having car robots, not car robots.
Yeah.
Let
me continue to read here. The converting robots that would be at the core of the 1984 launch of the new toy line known as the Transformers. Okay. He designed Sunstreaker. The original Sunstreaker. He also did Hound, Blue Streak, Sideswipe, Trailbreaker, the Dinobots, and the Constructicons. All of these amazing designs were brought to Diecast Metal Life by Kojin-san, who, it should be mentioned, was part of the initial class of the Transformers Hall of Fame inductees back in 2010, along with Peter Cullen, Bob Budansky, and Takara's lead designer, Hideaki Yoke. I have Yoke's autograph on my Perceptor, by the way.
But basically, without this guy, we wouldn't have Jack.
Yeah, we some of the most popular secondary characters it looked like he designed.
Some of the greatest of the series.
Don't call the Dinobots secondary.
I'm talking about Blue Streak.
Blue Streak.
Well, I just didn't want a mob showing up at your door, Doran, and you know, with pitchforks and you know, hand grenades and stuff.
Yeah, I got your mob right here.
Yeah. But John Machida, he's always fun to talk to. He's always got stories. The best thing, if you've never been to a BotCon and there's some G1 voice actors there, they have some of the best stories about Miss Latta. They always have some, and a lot of them they probably can't tell. They probably would not be good for a mixed audience.
Scatman Crothers.
Stories of Frank Welker making phone calls to himself in a corner, and the payphone sound, the coin dropping. We've all heard them. But I didn't hear that one.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Apparently, at one point when it wasn't his time, when everyone else was talking, he was in a corner keeping him in practice by basically calling himself on a payphone and talking to himself.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So if you're going and you have not talked to these people before, if you get a chance, you know, a lot of people will have heard these stories or talked to some of your friends, but some of these stories, especially about Chris Latta, are just really funny, and it's a great way to remember the man.
Wow. Have you really looked at the seminars and panels page? I'm going to read the names of the seminars and panels that they have scheduled for BotCon this year, simply for those of you who aren't watching the episode or the show right now. Those of you who are listening, these are the list of seminars and panels that they have scheduled for BotCon 2015. And they sound really interesting, especially this first one. The Birth of Transformers, Spotlight on Kojin Ono. That sounds very interesting. Mm-hmm. Hasbro Transformers, Behind the Scenes. Frank Welker Live. Transformers Collectors Club Roundtable, which they have every year. Audition, So You Think You Can Voice Act. 2015 Script Reading, The Return of Blur. Join Susan Blue, John Machida, Frank Todaro, and our two So You Think You Can Voice Act audition winners to take part in a script reading. Interesting. The Transformers Online Fandom, 20 years, hosted by Ryan Izquierdo of Sabertron.com. I hope I got his last name right. I can never pronounce it correctly. He's going to be hosting that. Transformers Film Fest. Mega Toy Cast BotCon Podcast. Huh.
We think that's a new group just starting out. We're still trying to find out who they are, but we think that's just a new group starting out, and that's one of their first things, we think.
Mm-hmm. Mega Toy Cast.
Yes. Transformers G1 Retrospective, Sue Blue and John Machida. Let's see here. Behind the Characters with Derek J. Wyatt. I'm sure animated fans will absolutely love that.
That'll be fun.
TCC Magazine Panel, The Art of Transformers, talking about packaging art and other projects. This one right here sounds very interesting. The Japanese Perspective. Andrew Hall hosts this panel featuring insights from the thriving Japanese Transformers fandom.
That should be really interesting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because Andrew's lived over there for many years, and it's just the knowledge he has about their side of the franchise is just insurmountable. I mean, it's just he just knows so much about that.
Mm-hmm. Transformers Cosplay, Look Behind the Curtain, or the Costume in this case. Rosemary Ward talks about the boom of Transformers cosplay and everything like that. So we have a cosplayer on our show right now.
Yep. So. And I have appeared with Rosemary. Very, very wonderful person.
Yes. So those are some of the events and panels that are scheduled to be there. Contests, let's see what they have for contests. 3D custom figures, dioramas, 2D art, I'm sure customs they have. A lot of interesting things there.
Dioramas, what did the Ramas do to you?
Yeah, they kill you. Anybody, any of you have any comments or anything on the events or the guests that they got planned?
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is from a point of view of having been, they do their very best to make sure a lot of these panels don't overlap in different rooms, mm-hmm. or they're spaced out so that you can get from one to the other. But just make sure, take a look at the schedule beforehand and make sure there's no panels or autograph sessions that are going to be going on at the same time. Just that way you can sort of plan on when to be where, so that way you don't lose time, say, 40 minutes in the dealer's room and you miss something.
Grab a copy and take it with you.
Yeah, so just...
It's always a very common thing that would happen during the show is you get in the dealer room and you get making deals or looking for that one figure you've been wanting forever, and you suddenly realize there's a panel that you really, really wanted to see, and it's already half over. Yeah. That's happened to me more times than I can count.
Same here. So just Thursday, if you're getting into BotCon, early Wednesday, early Thursday before package pickup, just sit down.
Prioritize. You know, this has been a BotCon primer for those of you who are attending the convention, and those of you who maybe haven't attended the convention before and are curious as to what the convention offers, things that you can look forward to. You know, there's other things. We've had our BotCon primer last year. There was a lot of and even the TFCon primer. There's a lot of great information in those. I don't think we really need to rehash. I mean, of course, there's always Bathe. You know, a lot of congoers forget to bathe. That's a given.
Eat
courteous.
Yeah, be courteous.
And eat.
Yes.
Believe it or not, you'd think, well, why do they even mention you have to eat? A lot of congoers, I don't know how many times that you get in that dealer room, you start getting in these panels and everything, time will go away very quickly.
Because you can be getting in a panel room at 9 o'clock, and you're in that panel room till probably 2 or 3, whatever the first panel is that you're not really that interested in. Mm-hmm. And the panel after that may be something that you don't really care about either. But you could be in that one room 4 and 5 hours, and when you realize it, you will be absolutely just fall over dead hungry.
Mm-hmm. One thing I would recommend, because I know that as a lot of us in the fandom tend to be getting a little older. We tend to be having some different health concerns, some of which may be like low blood sugar and things. In your knapsacks, swag bags, whatever you want to call it, backpacks, I would recommend maybe something like a Capri Sun pouch, maybe a little pouch of a couple of Pop-Tarts, just something to help hold you over.
Right.
If you start feeling tired or hungry, it's just kind of a small snack.
Because if you're passed out unconscious in the dealer room floor, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah,
we have to step over you or drag you off to the side or prop you up like we can at Bernie's.
Or
nobody
worse.
Wants that.
Worse, we'll probably end the panel early. Nobody wants that.
No. Well, another thing, too, I mean, you know, and some people may be experiencing this too, because I'll be with Captured Prey, and any listeners or viewers that would like to meet me and talk to me about the show, you can find me probably at the Captured Prey booth most of the time. I'll be there assisting with our sponsor, Captured Prey. Dealers have an extremely difficult time getting food. You know, I mean, literally, we get up very, very early and get down. And you have to prep. You have to uncover things. You know, get the cash teal and everything ready. And sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time to eat before you go into the dealer room to set up before the doors open to the public. And then you go throughout the day and there is no break time. You know, it's generally you look for lulls in the traffic, and somebody it's like everybody at the booth. It's like you get handed a big old wad of cash and say, here, go get this. But that sometimes you just don't get that opportunity. And I know TFCon last year in Chicago, TFCon USA, there was, I think it was Saturday. None of us at the Capture Prey booth really had a chance to eat until after the show was over that day. Mm-hmm. And we were famished. So yeah, even the dealers have a little trouble getting something to eat. And, you know, while you're having fun, it's really easy to forget, you know, not pay attention to your stomach. So I think bringing snacks and things like that is a good idea. I don't know about their policy on that at the door. I don't know if the hotel may not even allow snacks and food in the dealer room. I don't know, or the panel.
You're still diabetic.
Yeah. Which I am. I wouldn't be lying. So
they're not going to, you know, have you prove it or anything.
I don't think that there'll be anything that that they would stop you from doing, but just be reasonable about it. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a late join here with Chad Williams.
Mr. Chad, what's up, sir?
Oh, man, just working.
Oh, he's a flashing blue light again tonight.
Yeah, I figured I'd join in just for a few minutes.
Cool. Now we's actually getting ready to wrap up here. You have any tips for goers to conventions, having been a convention thrower yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, take a shower.
We already covered that one.
That's yeah. Shower, deodorant.
Eating.
Stay well hydrated and eat.
Yes.
You know, you can spend all the time you want in the dealer room and all those different places, but I can tell you this, if you don't do all the stuff that maintains your body, you're going to pass out in the middle of one of those rooms.
Yep.
And it's I haven't actually seen somebody pass out, but I've seen some people on the verge of it, and I've been one of them. So
pretty. It's not pretty, really, honestly. No.
So it does happen. And while you think it might be silly that we're even mentioning it, there is a reason we are. You guys, any of you guys have any other points of information that we need to divulge?
Nothing as far as like food or snacks or any of that. Like I said, you know, maybe Pop-Tarts, Capri Sun, or a bottle of water. Something that won't like bust open inside your bag and soak your toys, you know. But outside of that, just, you know, like I said, maybe print out a copy of the schedule. That way you know what is going on when. Other than that, just show up to the show, have fun, enjoy the hobby, make friends, make deals, have fun.
And that is the most important thing that you will do at BotCon is meet people. Yeah. I know we're sitting here talking about the toys and talking about the panels and the guests and everything, but the convention is mostly about the people. And I know a lot of people say that, and people that haven't been to conventions don't really get it until you actually go. And it's something. Now, before we roll out, transform and roll out here, those of you who are in the Chicago, St. Charles area and are kind of on the fence, you know, about going to the show.
Get off of my fence.
Get off the fence and go. I'm going to read the information here from the BotCon website. First 100 children with paid admission will receive a free Transformer toy. Adults are, for general admission, are $25 for adults. And $10 for children, 4 and under, are free. On Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Early bird admittance is available on Saturday beginning at 9 a.m., but that will cost you $60. Parking is free at the Pheasant Run Expo Center. That's a big, big plus, right?
I would recommend showing up early to get a guaranteed parking spot.
Yes. Yes.
It's going to be
fun. There's family-friendly activities, panels, obviously, and most of all, the fans. So if you're on the fence about going and you are within reasonable driving distance, I'd say check it out. I mean, it's highly recommended.
Heck, bring your friends with you. Hey,
it's worth checking out. I mean, you're going to be there, Duran. You know, Donald's going to be there. I don't know. Jim, are you going?
Oh, yeah.
I have to work, so I won't be there, but... I know all those guys are going to be there. And,
yeah, Proto Man's going to be there. And Megamus is going to be there. So,
that's five personalities, honestly, that you can't live without. You got to meet them all. So come on out and meet those guys.
We're like Pokemon.
There you go.
Now, for those of you that are newer fans, Massey is not coming. I felt it would be in my best interest to continue breathing, not to bring my attack cat on a 13-hour drive. Call me crazy, but I like breathing through my lungs inside my body.
Yeah, that and only one of you can fit in the ball at a time.
Maybe you could take pictures of Massey and pass them out with an ink paw print on them as an autograph.
Actually, I've tried limited to 20.
Actually, I've actually tried taking his picture lately, and it's like he just knows I'm trying to take his picture, and he'll never look towards me, or he'll scamper off and hide behind something. He's like, "Man, taking my picture? What are you doing my picture? Are you taking my picture?" So, real quick, Durin, hang on a second. This is a TFYLP exclusive. This is an exclusive. This is Massey right after Mom got him.
Really?
Ooh.
That's a TFYLP exclusive. Massey, the early years. and that's him next to the table that Mom had there at the door. So you can see.
Wow.
And that's an exclusive of where he started at.
Wow.
Sweet.
That's pretty awesome. Well, speaking of pictures, and kind of alluding to what Jim mentioned there, limited to 20. These will be available at the Capture Prey booth. I'll be selling these at the Capture Prey booth. It's a 11 by 17 poster, if I can get it in frame here, of Masterpiece Bumblebee.
Yes.
And I've only made 20 prints. I'm going to be selling them for $10 a piece.
And that's why Durin takes the photos for everybody. Yes. They look that good.
Yep.
I appreciate that. But this one right here, I had to the very first one. This is the top one that was on the package that got sent to, and there was a slight crease right here. The very first one. So I'm keeping that one since it's not really available.
It's not C10 case fresh.
Yeah. So there's 19 left, and they will be for sale at the Capture Prey booth for $10 a piece.
Sweet.
And 11 by 17.
Kind of awesome.
Yes. Since I am the photographer and everything, I am limiting them to 20 copies, and that's one of them. And I've got the other 19 over here ready to go. And if you like them, support me. Help me get out there and make more.
So they're $10 a piece and autographed or five?
I'll autograph it if you want. I'm probably going to number them on the back, like one of 20, two of 20.
Yeah.
And
can I be 80 in a four issue limited series?
But the bottom line is that you know, I'm a photographer and I'm trying to get out there and make a little bit of money with my photography, and this is a little bit of shameless self plugging here, and I apologize for that, but you know, it's a way to make a little money and do what I love, and you know, and why not make something that people will enjoy that are fellow collectors. Mm-hmm. You know, take cool pictures of toys either they may own or they may not own. I mean, I've got pictures of other toys up here too that I've taken, and it just adds to it's a great thing to hang in your collection room, you know? So check it out.
Definitely.
And hey, if all those sell, then we're going to obviously see more of those photographs, or not necessarily Bumblebee, but
yeah, I've got others that I have not posted online, and they'll be available later on.
Each year is one different movie Bumblebee.
No. But I have got an agreement that if these sell well if they sell out at BotCon, Capture Prey will carry some posters, and you'll be able to buy the posters through CapturePrey.com. And speaking of Capture Prey, one more thing: third parties are banned on the dealer room floor.
Actual figures.
Yeah, third party figures are banned on the dealer room floor. However, just wanted to make people aware that you will still be able to purchase them, but not at the convention itself. You can go. We'll be having the CP3P party. Yeah, CP3P. You can check out, I believe, the third-party discussion forum on TFW. There'll probably be some information on there from Sidecutter, the owner of Capture Prey. But, yes, we'll have some sale room-to-room. It's part of the room-to-room trading and sales. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to purchase things there. And I do know that if you are looking for an Apollyon, he didn't authorize me to say this, but there will be one case of them available there. So if you're still in the market for an Apollyon, Capture Prey will have some, but get there fast if you're looking for an Apollyon. Some other highlights, he still has complete sets of, I'm not sure if it's version 1 or 2. It might be version 2 because it was a case he just recently got in. But don't hold me to that. I'm not sure. He also has a complete set of the Unique Toys Warlord, the other third-party Predaking.
The first one, right?
Yes, it's the first third-party Predaking that was released. They're not as great as the Feral Cons from Mastermind or the Ares Bots from TFC. But I've handled the Warlord combined figure in my hand, and it is awesome. And I wouldn't mind having it. And I don't know the exact price, but he is discounting those because they are on clearance. And he has 5 complete sets. So, again, if you're looking for a cheap third-party combiner.
And I heard the quality really improved as the line progressed. A lot of reviewers were saying the quality was really just really by leaps and bounds from figure to figure.
Yeah, the very first one was the Dive Bomb. I can't remember the name.
Talon.
Talon was the Mastermind.
Oh.
But the Dive Bomb was the very first one, and it had some issues. But I think by the time they released Shark Claw, which was the Razor Claw, they had gone up by leaps and bounds. Unique Toys, I think, are also in around the same people that does the DX9 stuff, mm-hmm. and we know the DX9 stuff is just like blowing it out of the water right now. You gotta walk before you can crawl. Crawl before you can walk. Rather, I'm sorry.
Well, look at Mastermind. The Mastermind first did the Hearts of Steel Prime, which did have some issues.
they went back, retweaked it. The second version outsold the first one by huge numbers, and now Mastermind's one of the biggest games in the third-party industry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I've got the unique toys, this DX9, the Optimus Prime upgrade kit to turn Movie Prime into like Genera.
Mm-hmm.
That is a solid set. I like that.
Also, I do know things that will be in stock from Captured Prey will be the Iron Dibot Soar, the blue chest version. Those are in stock. The DX9 Chigurh, which is the not Astral Train, and the, or is it Chigurh or DX9 that does Chigurh?
Yeah.
And then there's the, there's another one that's Evilla Star, too. I can't remember. It's Toy World, Evilla Star. Those are in stock and will be available at the con. And I do believe he will have some of Wave 3 Combiner Wars.
Nice.
He looks to have some of those in stock by then. As of yesterday, I don't think he had them, but he was expecting them any day now.
Yeah.
And those will most likely be available, since they're official product, they'll be available at the booth. But highlighting the C3P, that's a mouthful. CP3P, just highlighting it, you know, it's, there's a lot of great stuff, but pretty much anything that's out, the Toy World Shine Bug, I know a lot of this cause I helped him set the shelves the other day, the rolling shelves that we have set up. I helped him set them the other day. So, there's a lot of great stuff that's going to be available there. So look for it. I'm sure there'll be some information online, TFW on Capture Prey's Facebook page, Capture Prey's website. We're going to get some information out there and check them out. A lot of great competitive prices and a reason to come to the CP3P. I'll get it right.
Yep.
Any of you guys have anything you want to mention before we?
Well, I'm going to mention this just as a thought that I had a few weeks ago. I'm sure a lot of people had the same thought. The year Metroplex came out, he was available at BotCon from another retailer before anyone else had him. We've already seen San Diego Devastator. Maybe
Devastator may be there.
That's why I'm saying that's.
But
that's what everybody
if he
I know.
Is bring some money.
Yeah, bring.
Because if you're one of those people, if you're one of those people that have. You know, have a little bit of money to spend or blow at the con and want it early, I'm sure there'll be somebody there that'll have it.
You know, I should bring Massey for that. It's like, here, have a Massey. What? Ah! I can grab a Devastator and run.
I'm trying to find a way to detach my arm and just give it. You know, it's like, here's my arm.
So I think that's going to be one of the biggest things in the dealer's room is if he's actually there.
The biggest is because the Voyagers.
Ha, ha, see what you did there.
Right.
Chad, you have anything to add before we roll out? Crickets chirp.
Maybe his quoting process wasn't
Chad's
as successful.
Chad's hanging. Chad's just
no,
hanging on.
Not really.
Wow.
I hope everybody has a great time.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, how about you?
Well, nothing earth-shattering as far as BotCon goes, but I just wanted to briefly mention that I was at Goodwill earlier today, and I ran across a vintage Kingdam 02.
Hmm.
Is that Microman, or?
I'm not sure. I've heard of Kingdam in different literature and websites and things, but I've never actually paid attention that much. I just remembered the name.
Now, if Brett was on here, he could tell you all about it.
Yeah, he'd probably snap right to it and be like, hey, that's such and such. But it's a jet, has diecast, and you pull the wings out, and the nose cone flips back, and it's an upper torso with arms.
Interesting.
I'm guessing there's a few other bits that combine and make a full robot. But I'll be bringing that with me to BotCon to see what I can get out of it. Maybe trade it. I don't know. And as far as the potential for a possible Devastator at BotCon, or even Defense, or, I don't know, Motormaster maybe, I'll probably be selling my box set. I've got the Primus package with the Welker add-on, and I don't really want the box set of toys. So, who knows? Maybe I might land a Devastator.
Hmm.
It'd be pretty sweet.
Well, this time next week, all will be revealed.
Yes.
That's right.
Like I said, if we do a live show, we will tweet about it and post it on our Facebook page and website. So watch all the channels for TFYLP for that. If not, we're going to try to do something at least recorded, and I'll upload it later. What's that? Whichever one is Bumblebee? I don't get it.
Oh, you must not have seen the earlier chat.
Oh,
I'm trying to call dibs on one of your Bumblebee pictures.
The version one or two I was talking about was the Apollyon, because those are
running. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, they.
We have a disorganized chat.
Yes, we do.
It's just three of us.
That's why it was confusing me.
Yeah, it's just three of us. There shouldn't be that much.
It's a hanging chat.
Yes.
Dang. Oh, no.
I'm not
we
hanging.
We have a dangling chat right here.
No, I said chat.
Oh, wow. Chad just admit that he's not hung.
Oh, nice.
And thank you for joining us on this episode.
Yes. I believe that'll wrap us up for our BotCon primer.
It will, won't it?
Hey, look. Let's transform and roll out.
Yeah. If you have any questions or comments about the upcoming show, feel free to post them on our Facebook page or tweet us at TFYLP.
If you see us at the show, tell us what you think. Give us some feedback.
Absolutely. We love hearing from listeners.
Help us help you.
Absolutely. We're here for you guys. I know at TFCon USA last year, I was absolutely blown away by all the positive response from listeners and viewers. And I thoroughly enjoyed hearing and meeting each and every one of you. And I'd love to see you at the show. So if you come up to me at the Capture Prey booth or happen to see me out on the dealer room floor, stop me and say hi. I'd love to hear from you and let me know that you're watching and listening to the show, as well as any of us, Don, Jim, Protoman, Megamus. Tell us what you think.
We go.
We try to do better. I know we derail a lot, but you know, this we're having fun and we're having fun collecting these toys.
It's all those hanging chads that cause that issue, that derailment.
Yes.
Sure.
So for Chad Williams, Headmaster Don, Ronnie Prime, and me, Weirwolf, we will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, and see you at BotCon 2015.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.